Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good to be here on Blog Talk Radio one more time. Thank God that we're here. Thank God for His grace and for His mercies. Thank Him for the call, for the commission to go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said: He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And notice the name is in the singular. The Father has a name. Son has a name. The Holy Ghost has a name. And it's at the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And this is Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, and also Luke. So he said, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is after His resurrection, after He was on the earth for 40 days. So he said, thus I send the promise of my Father, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. He led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up His hands, and blessed them, stepped on a cloud, and was received out of their sight. So that's just the first part, amen, of the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension. He's going to appear to take the church away, and He's going to come back 7 years later to fight. Amen. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. So thank God we know that it's about Jesus. He's the one that in Him we live, and in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. In the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, when Apostle Paul saw that inscription, they said, to the unknown God, he went on to let them know whom ye ignorantly worship. God who made the worlds and all the things that are therein, you know, seeing that He gives everybody life and breath, you know, He's not far from none of us. And He went on to let them know, of ye and of your own poets, you, and it's in Him we live, and in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. So we thank God that we're here, We'd like to thank God for all of our Twitter listeners and followers, all of our Facebook friends and followers, and also our Blog Talk followers and our LinkedIn listeners and followers. We're glad to be here on the air one more time, to be able to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the word of the Lord. And we're grateful for that on today, that we're able to come into your places of business, your homes, your car, your wherever you can, you're able to listen. And then, yes, people do mostly listen, have the capability to listen on mobile devices. So I don't know if you can listen on your radio or not, but we definitely can listen on our phones, because I do listen from time to time back, listen to the broadcast so I can make sure I pick up where I left off. So we thank God for that. So we thank God for his word. And just a little food for thought here. Apostle Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus here in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians to the church at Ephesus. He said, "Unto me, who am least and the less than the least of the all saints, in this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, he said, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." So he goes on, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So this is Apostle Paul encouraging the church about the great mystery of Christ. Like I say, Christ, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So the body is the Son of God. God didn't have a body, so he had to make himself a body. And this is what we're talking about in the book of the Hebrews, about him being come and high priest. Knowing a spirit does not have flesh and blood. So he had to make a body. And even after Jesus' resurrection, Thomas wasn't there when Jesus appeared unto them, after his resurrection, he was saying, "Handle me, as I." He said, "A spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have." This is after his resurrection, when he was in his glorified body. He appeared in many infallible proofs or forms. He could appear to be whatever he wants to be. He can never be what he is not. He gets done being what he was, what he wants to be, and he gets done being what he wants to be. He goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be. He's always God. So this is why Hebrew writer says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto, you know, to us by his Son. Sonship is an office. And so he had to take on a body to take away the sins of the world. So that's a great mystery. A lot of people don't understand that. They think God is just some being way out there in the middle of nowhere. Like somebody said, you look out, you're not just looking at nothing. When you look way out, I don't care if it's land, I don't care if it's water or seas, rivers, mountains. But somebody said, God is not in space, but space is in God. So he's not just some one just way out, but he's near. That's why he came to save men's souls. So this is why he said, angels shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So he came to tabernacle. He came into the world that he made. And that's why I read that in St. John. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's the great mystery. He said, no man. So he's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the captain of our salvation. He is the apostle of our profession. He's the bishop of our souls. He is the great high priest. He is the good shepherd of the sheep. He is the mighty God. Amen. He's the door of the sheepfold. Amen. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He is the which was, which is, and which is to come. He is the almighty God. Amen. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He is all that. So, if, like I've said before, when you search the scriptures, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible after you leave the book of Isaiah. I just want to share a little bit with you today. The name Jehovah is combined with 10 other words which form what are known as the Jehovah titles. So these are actually divine names and titles of Jehovah. So Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah will see or provide, Genesis 22 and 14. You remember the story of Abraham was told to go offer his son Isaac for a burnt offering. And so that reference, that prophecy had a double reference when he said, you know, where's the sacrifice? And he was saying, God will provide himself a sacrifice. So he did. He had a ram in the thicket. And also, that's a double reference prophecy, how the Lord himself became a sacrifice, or the sacrifice. Once in the end of the world, he put away sin. The Hebrew writer says, we read it, I believe, on last week, by the, there it is, sacrifice of himself. So anyway, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah that healeth thee, Exodus 15 and 26. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah my banner, Exodus 17 and 15. Jehovah Mekin Diskin, that's a tongue twister. Jehovah that doth sanctify you, Exodus 3 and 13. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Sin, Peace, Judges 6 and 24. Jehovah Zeboah, Jehovah of Hosts, 1 Samuel 1 and 3. Jehovah Zekinu, Jehovah our righteousness, Jeremiah 23 and 6. Jehovah Shammai, Jehovah is there, Exodus 48 and 35. Jehovah Elon, Jehovah Most High, Psalms 7 and 17. Jehovah Rael, Jehovah My Shepherd, Psalms 23 and 1. Yah is Jehovah in the special sense and relation. Jehovah as having become our salvation. The word Yah occurs 49 times in the original Hebrew version of the Old Testament, but it's translated Lord in every place but one. Psalm 68 and 4, it says, by his name, Yah. And it says, rejoice before him. Its first occurrence in the original is in Exodus 15 and 2, he who is and was and is to come. And El is essentially the Almighty, though the word is never so rendered. El is Elohim in all his strength and power. It is rendered or translated Gid or Elohim is but El is God the Omnipotent. And Elohim is God the Creator, putting his omnipotence into operation. It is oftentimes transliterated in the proper names, Immanuel, Beth, El, etc., where it is translated as explained in the margin. Eloi, Elohim, who is to be worshipped. Elo is God in connection with his will rather than his power. The first occurrence associates this name with worship, Deuteronomy 32 and 15 and 17. Hence, it is the title used whenever the contrast, latent or expressed, is with false gods or idols. Eloi is essentially the living God in contrast to imitate idols. Imitate. Anyway, Elyon first occurs in Genesis 14 and 18. El is rendered the Most High. It is El and Elohim, Creator, not as the powerful Creator, but as the possessor of heaven and earth. Hence the name is associated with Christ as the Son of the Highest. Luke 1:32, Matthew 28 and 18. It is Elyon as possessor of the earth who divides the nations, their inheritance. Psalm 82 and 18, he is over all the earth. The title occurs 36 times in the Old Testament, but translated God. Elyon is the dispenser of God's blessings in the earth. The blessings proceed from the priest who is king upon his throne. So Genesis 14, 18 through 22 with Zechariah 6 and 13 and 14 and 9. Melchizedek abideth the priest forever without beginning of life nor ending of days. Now Christ also abideth the priest forever. A priest is a mediator between God and man. Melchizedek and Christ are both said to be a priest forever, and there is but one mediator between God and man. So who is Melchizedek? So we read about him last week, and I think it's 1 Timothy 3. It says, there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So anyway, that's just a little food for thought on the day of some of the divine names and titles of Jehovah. So he is the one who has become our salvation. So we go on, and just a little more food here for thought. We're going to get in our lesson on today, part 5 in the book of the Hebrews. But it's still our topic of what we have been talking about for months is still the Godhead. So there is so much. He's the one God, no other. So to see the connection from the Old Testament to the New Testament, he was, and he always has been. Like he said, is there a God beside me? I know not of any. So there is none with him, none beside him, none before him, none after him. He is the self-existing one. And people don't understand that. Ain't no divine trinity. Ain't no two. There's no three, but there's one God. And so even the devils know. In James 2 and 19, it said, thou believest there is one God? James said, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So when you get to heaven, you're only going to see one on the throne, one God. Whether you get there standing before the great white throne, you don't want to be there like that. That means you're going to be judged. If your name is not found written in the book of life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. You don't want that. That's why everyone needs the new birth. Be born of water and of the Spirit, that is the one baptism, and being immersed or buried in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. God filling you with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives you to utter. Acts 2 and 4. That is the new birth, water and spirit. And we know in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, the whole earth spake one language. God confused them, the Tower of Babel. They couldn't understand one another. But we know on the day of Pentecost, they were there. They heard everyone speak their own language wherein they were born. They say, we do hear them speak the wonderful works of God. So you are speaking another language, not your native language or tongue where you were born when you're baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So it's not just some, say, believer's baptism, but he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So in other words, you're born again, you're born of water and of the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeneth. John says in St. John, the 3rd chapter, thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. Notice the subject, the wind. He said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So in other words, there's a sound from heaven on the day of Pentecost. There came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. That sound's not going to come no more like that. It's already here. What saith it? Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach. So he was talking to saved people there in the 10th chapter of Romans. But anyway, Jacob wrestled with an angel. He sought to obtain the secret name, but was prohibited to obtain the secret name. The angel in a burning bush was hearing the secret name, and when Moses sought to obtain the secret name, all he received was, I am that I am, because he was saying, what is your name? That, you know, who should I tell Pharaoh who sent me? He said, I am that I am. I will be what I will be, who I will be, where I will be. I am that I am. That was the best translation that they could translate out of that name. So in other words, I am that I am. I will be what I want to be, where I want to be. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. So I am that I am. The children of Israel were led by the angel of the Lord, and Jehovah said, beware of him, for my name is in him. Exodus 23 and 21. To Manoah, the Jehovah angel replied, why askest thou after my name, seeing it is a secret? So Judges 13 and 18. The prophet Isaiah declared that his name shall be called Wonderful. See, this hasn't even came to pass. Isaiah 9 and 6. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. The government is going to be upon his shoulders. At that time, his name is going to be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So that is the time to come, because he said, unto us a child is born. When he was born, unto us a son is given, 33 and a half years later. That part, and his name shall be called Wonderful, that is yet to come to pass. So anyway, his name, for these scriptures, can clearly be seen that Jehovah had a name to be revealed, which was to be above all his names. So, God has given him a name. Notice now, him as a man, he thought himself of no reputation, but was made in the likeness of a servant, and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is in the book of Philippians. So, the writer Paul says, wherefore God has highly exalted him, talking about him as a man, the man Christ Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you got to understand what form he is in, what state he is in. So this is not a shadow of a doubt. There's no shadow of a doubt, but that the angel that appeared to the virgin in Nazareth was the Jehovah angel of the old who bore that wonderful name. It was there that he had finished his journey over the hills of time and deposited that secret name in the bosom of her who was highly favored of God. Remember he was saying, you're highly favored? Remember Luke 1:35 says, she said, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? Luke 1 and 35, she says, how shall it be? The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee, the operative word, shall be called the Son of God. Mary pondered these things in her heart and told no man the message of the angel that what should bring forth a son, that his name should be called Jesus. So the word was God from the beginning, and when the word became or made flesh, it was given a name that is above every name, for he there and then magnified his word above his name. And so his name is above every name, and his word is magnified above all thy name in the book of Psalms. His name shall be called Jesus. What a wonderful word. All the titles that Jehovah ever bore and comprehended in this one name, Jesus. The name of Jesus bears it all that God's other name ever bore. Jesus is Elohim, the creator. Colossians 1 and 16, Jehovah Shaddai, Revelation 1 and 8. Eloah, Hebrew 1 and 6. Elohim, the Most High, John 8 and, 3 and 31, I'm sorry. Ephesians 4 and 6. In fact, that all the attributes of God are revealed by his names are all found in Jesus. Thus, in all things, he is given preeminence and a name that is above every name. On the Isle of Patmos, or in the Isle of Patmos, he declares that he is Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty, the first and the last. If he who appeared in the Isle of Patmos is the Almighty Shaddai, Revelation 1 and 8, 6 and 3, then the Almighty's new name is Jesus, and he has magnified his word above all his name. So that's just a little food for thought. So we thank God for his word. And like I told you, we can't exhaust the word of the Lord. So also, I would like to give out the number, should you desire to call in, should you have a question, should you have a comment, you're welcome. 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So we thank God for the privilege. And those are that are, for some reason, we can't send our link to Twitter on the day from our Blog Talk switchboard. I don't know what the deal is on that, because we sent a link to Facebook and to our Blog Talk friends and then also to Twitter. For some reason, we can't send that link to Twitter. So someone wants to listen, they will have to log in at blogtalkradio.com/truth- to be able to get the broadcast on the day. I don't know what that is. That's why we always try to give ourselves time to, we don't want to send the links too early, but for some reason this Twitter link is there's a problem with the Twitter link on Blog Talk Radio. So we know we left off on last week. We're still in the book of the Hebrews, talking about the great high priest and Melchizedek and just God and his priestly order and his sonship. And so, and then we also made mention about sometimes you hear people talking, saying that God uses them in the prophetic. There is no such thing today as the prophetic. That was the prophets. That is over with. There's another word for it, and I'm not going to say. I mean, people read their Bible, they would know what that is. God is not using you in no prophetic. But the prophets, the ministry of the prophets is over. And that's even Jesus said. All things, he says, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And also, even in the book of Romans, he says, Christ is in the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe. That's why he made that quote out of Deuteronomy. Don't say in your heart, who's going to go up to heaven to bring Christ down? Who's going to descend into the deep to bring Christ up? He said, what saith it? the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach. So he goes on to say in Romans 10 and 17, says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is how we're going to get faith, by hearing and hearing the word of God. And the Bible is truth when it is rightly divided. And so this is why it is so important. A couple of scriptures in the Bible are so very important. Nehemiah 8 and 8, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. You got to give the sense of the word. So 2 Timothy 2 and 15, Paul told Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, not unto men, unto God. He said, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we're not magnifying no other man, that is a human being on earth. Surely we have leaders. God setteth the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So you got to be in a local assembly, because this is what God has designed. You have to be under leadership. Only way to be in authority, you got to be under authority to be in authority. And that is, like I said, I made that known, I think, week before last of myself. I belong to an organization which I was ordained out of Indianapolis, Indiana, and headquartered. It's called the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. And this organization has been around since the early 1900s, and our first presiding bishop was the late Honorable Garfield Thomas Haywood. We call him G.T. Haywood. God gave more revelation than any one that we have ever known. He gave the revelation of the ages. So that was some of the material that he put together that I was going through earlier, the food for thought. So there's no violence. The scripture will support scripture. You don't want to do violence to the scriptures. When you rightly divide the scriptures, scripture will support scripture. A lot of people are preaching, but Christ has to be preached as was given by the 12 that he chose, whom he named apostles. So this is the 17th chapter of St. John. He said, I don't pray for these only, but them, all them, they which shall believe on me through their word. So we know in the 13th chapter of Matthew, when men slept, the enemy came in, so to try to divide. Constantine gave that so-called vision in 320 A.D., so-called Trinity, and as the foolishness and the Catholicism and all this stuff came in, and people worshiping man and calling Rome God's holy mountain. Rome never has been God's holy mountain. Matter of fact, Apostle Paul heard of the faith of the saints in Rome. He went to them to impart unto them some spiritual gift. He did not start the church in Rome, but he heard of their faith. That's why he said, I'm going to impart unto you some spiritual gift. So he said, I'm ready to preach to you that are at Rome. And he went on to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, it is written, the just shall live by his faith. That's in the book of Habakkuk. So he had heard about their faith in Rome. So what am I saying? I'm saying to you, that's not God's God's holy mountain is and always has been Jerusalem, not Rome. Rome is not God's holy mountain, but God's holy mountain is Jerusalem, and it always will be. That's the city in the Revelation. said, I, John, saw the new city. He said, I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. So that's a city suspended in mid-air. Who ever heard of a city suspended in mid-air? But that's what John saw, the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. So that is Jerusalem, always has been, always will be, God's holy mountain, not Rome. So, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things so can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers there unto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Remember, we were talking about the high priest, how he had to go in there and offer for himself and for the sins of the people in the second veil. So if he wasn't right, you can read about it back in the Old Testament. They would put bells on him. They would tie a rope on him before he went in, because if he wasn't right, and the reason why they had to do this is, as the writer said, that he die not. Because if he wasn't right when he went in, then he, God, killed him. They couldn't go in and get him, but they had to drag him out. They didn't hear those bells ringing. They had to drag him out with the ropes. Because they went in there, they would die too. God wasn't playing. And you know what? He's still not playing. Some people are going to find that out. They think they can just mess over a child of God, lie on a child of God, and they think they're going to get away with it. Oh, no. God don't play. God is not playing. He will pull the cover off of every liar. You can believe that. You can bank on that. He is not playing. So, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast thou prepared me. Remember, I was saying that is the great mystery. He prepared himself a body. This is one of the chapters, the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and the 40th chapter of Psalms let you know about that body and about how he came in the volume of the book. So he is a spirit. God is still a spirit. He made himself a body. He was made in the likeness of a servant. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, we read that earlier in the Hebrews, he himself took part of the same, that he might take death out of the hands of him that had it, that is the devil. And, you know, through fear of death, who were in bondage. And the writer goes on to say that he didn't take on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That's a human body, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. So that is a great mystery, that he took on that body. And a lot of people can't see that. They don't understand the sonship. They don't understand that it's God. It's only one. And the son's going to put down, he's going to be subject to the Father. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he's going to reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's why I said it's the saying that is written, said, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, you know, then come at the end, when he shall put down all rule and authorities. The Father, Son is going to be subject unto the Father. So in other words, there's going to be no need And you can read back in the book of Isaiah, of Zechariah, they're going to see the nail prints in his hands and his feet. They're going to say, when did you get these? He's going to let them know, I was wounded in the house of my friends. They're going to see that body. That's a lot of people are wondering. It is amazing. Even in Christendom, they wonder, like, where's that body at? They don't understand. God can appear in any form he wants to. He's everywhere and every place. He is the one. The king's heart is in his hand. He'll turn it. He's going to work his will out. He's working in us the will and the do of his good pleasure. That's why Paul said, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is not playing. So somebody think that they can make a fool out of a child of God? I got news for you. They got another thing coming. So people plotting and lying, no lies of the truth. God will make a fool out of a person. He'll let them make a fool out of themselves trying to hurt a child of God, because you trust God, he is not playing. And no lies of the truth. And people don't want to free themselves by telling the truth. Just a little lie? No, ain't no such thing as a white lie and all that. A lie is a lie. And so sometimes people think, so the whole point is you have to tell the whole thing. You have nothing to be ashamed of, especially sometimes people are ashamed of their past. This is why Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is what I just was reading. The Apostle Paul was just talking because he knew how great he was to the Ephesian church. But he said in his book, when he wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel, he said he came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. So I'm not ashamed. Even me, talking to you right now, I used to drink. Like I tell people, I used to drink. I drank vodka. I drank gin. I drank wine. I drank beer. I'd done all that stuff. Before August the 11th, 1976 is the day I got saved. I never drank no more again. But I say, I've told people on occasion, I have drank enough wine that I could dive in. That's how much. I used to drink it like water. I drank that through the week. So I'm just saying, the point being, I did a lot of things, and I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed. I'm not going to feel bad. Oh, my God. Feel bad because you were a sinner? Yes, everyone was, even if you did not do anything. Some people think, well, I'm not laying on my back. I'm not whoring around. I'm not a murderer, or I'm not a thief, and this, that, and the other. But some people are so hateful. When you hate, you're a murderer. The Bible said, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. Some people are liars. Oh, they think, because I don't do anything immoral, I would not go out on my husband or my wife or my boyfriend or my girlfriend, but they are a liar. You're guilty just the same. You need to repent. You need to be saved. So this is what the gospel is all about. So not for us looking at what we don't do. No. And people looking at what they can't do after you get saved. I tell you one thing, you can't go to heaven living like a devil either. You need to get right with God. Like I said, somebody said, get right with God and do it now. Get right with God, and he will show you how. Down at the cross where he shed his blood. Get right with God. Get right, get right. So he goes on here, what we just read. Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. When he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hath pleasure in them which are offered by the law. But anyway, he said, Lord, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Remember saying he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This book of Hebrews really tells you all about it. He was a God that put himself on the altar, and he was a priest. He made himself of no reputation. He was a priest. He was made the sin offering, and he was the God who accepted the offering that he made. Nobody could do it but him. So this is why in the fifth chapter, I believe, in the book of the Revelation, there stood a lamb as that had been slain in the midst of the throne, and John wept much because he couldn't find nobody in heaven and earth or in the earth or under the earth. So the loose the seals, opened the seals, and he came low in the midst of the throne. There stood a lamb as it had been slain. John said he wept much anyway, so he came and took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. What is the revelation there? He took the book from himself. Somebody said he left his home in glory just because he loved us. Yes, he got up, but he didn't get up. But he did get up, but he didn't get up. He's God. He's everywhere and every place. Leave you, come to you, ain't gone nowhere. He can appear whatever form he want to appear in. Amen. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's everywhere and every place. Everybody can pray at the same time. He knows every thought before they enter our mind. He declared the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen. He knows all things. He's given man knowledge. You ever thought about an airplane? All those tons of steel that can go up in the air? God gave the knowledge. All of this technology that we got, when even the fathers of old in the 1900s, they wondered, how is the whole world going to see the witnesses in Jerusalem? That is Moses and Elijah. They're going to come back and preach the everlasting gospel. They're going to kill Moses and Elijah. They're going to, dead bodies are going to lay down in the streets for 3 days. And the people are going to rejoice and send gifts one to another. It's in the book of the Revelation. And after 3 days, the spirit of life from God is going to get back into those bodies. They're going to stand on their feet. Great fear is going to fall on everybody who sees it. Like someone said, one of our bishops who died in 1990, he said, how are you going to see it? He said, the satellite TV. Well, when he died in 1990, the cell phone thing didn't really kick out until the mid-90s, 94 on into the 90s when people started getting cell phones. And now everybody got a phone. Even some little kids have cellular or mobile devices. You can watch TV. You can see things all over the world, YouTube, live video, all that. You'll be able to see in Jerusalem what is going on at that day. You be left here. You don't make the rapture of the church. So God has given man knowledge. And this is what was said in the book of Daniel, knowledge shall increase. God's word is surely being fulfilled. So anyway, we go on here. Our time just gets away. Like I said, you can't give a preacher a microphone. You've been in this word. You have a lot to say. So anyway, so he says, every priest standing daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. See, remember we're talking about those priests back then, how they had to go in once a year with the blood of others, offer for themselves, then for the people. So he goes on to say, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, this is talking about the great high priest, talking about Jesus, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. See, you can read this also in the book of Jeremiah. And their sins and iniquities I remember no more. So he goes on here, now where remission of these is, there is more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he goes on to say, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Simply put, Jesus is not going to go back to the cross to die again. So remission of sins, like we say, is for sinners. That's why you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But confession of sins is for saints or people of God. And I mean, a lot of people, they don't understand that. That's why I say a lot of times people of God, but we address ourselves as saints in the church of God. You do that out in the world, people would think, because it's like they take pride, oh, I'm no saint. Well, you should want to be. In the book of Romans, in the book of 1 Corinthians, especially when he addresses the letters to the Corinthians and to the Romans, he said they are called to be saints. That's foolishness, that Catholic Church. That is not God. You better know you a saint right now. Ain't no somebody going to declare you, make you a saint. I mean, how stupid. Even the Pope, he's a candidate for sainthood. That's stupid. God is calling people to be saints, not somebody call you to be a saint after you're dead. They decide. No. God is the one who gives. He is the giver of life. He is the giver of all gifts that come from above, not some man. And after you're dead, you hope that they make you a saint. That is ridiculous. That makes no sense. You better know you are a child of God or a saint of God right now. That's what he called us to be. He called us to live holy, so we're not whoring around. So, hey, you want to lie on me? Lie. See, that's the first. People don't understand that. I mean, some people got upset because people were making fun of their prophet. But the more you talk about Jesus, the better. Crucify him. Talk about him all you want, because he's going to do what he's going to do. That's why I read. Let you know is in the 19th chapter of Revelation. His sharp sword is going to go out of his mouth, and his name is called the Word of God, and by it that he should smite the nations with fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He is not playing. You can call him whatever you want, but you're going to stand before him. That's why every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. I don't care who you are, the agnostics, the unbelievers, the infidels, everybody is going to stand. The dead, great and small, John said he saw, stand before God, and the books were open. So people won't be there lying, so-and-so did this. No, you need to do, like they said years ago, some young girls would tell on the boy who they were with at that time. And so this one pastor, he's going on to be with the Lord right now, I'm told, he used to say, to the young man, the girl already confessed for herself and for the boy that she was with. He would say two words to the young man, come clean, come clean. That's what people need to do, come clean. Stop lying and looking at other people, because like I told you before, like I used to tell people in the prison ministry that I did for 20 years, and 18 of those 20 years I did women's prison ministry. And people used to say, hell yeah, or hell yes. And I used to let them know, because people talk. That's just pride. That's all in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They are not of the Father, but they are of the world. World passes away. The lust thereof, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's just a pride thing. Nobody in their right mind want to go to hell. Matthew 25 and 41, hell was created for the devil and his angels. You got to be out of your mind. You don't want to go there. You're going to be weeping and gnashing the teeth. You're going to be wailing and gnashing the teeth. You're going to be utter darkness. You're going to be like sulfur, coughing and burning and torment and fire and brimstone forever and ever. Nobody in their right mind want to go there. got to be out of your mind. So he goes on here, we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth. There remain no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, we shall devour the adversaries. He goes on, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. See, that thing, that law is still in now. How so much sore punishment? Suppose ye be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, had done despite the spirit of grace. We know him that has said. Remember, we know him who has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. Again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Call to remembrance the former days in which you were illuminated. You endured a great fight of affliction, partially while you were made a gazing stock, both of reproaches and afflictions, and partially while you became companions of them were so used. You had compassion on me and my bonds, to joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and a enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the souls. So we thank God for his word. Like I said, God is not playing. And see, a lot of times people take that like you're throwing off on them. I make that statement, God is not playing. Let me tell you, God is not playing with me, you, or nobody else. He is not playing. This foolishness of these people lying, and so many people are going to be lost forever because they have done one thing, made money their God. That's why Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You hate one and cleave to the other. You hold the one, you despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. So we thank God for his word, and we're going to be back on next time. So we thank you for today for listening. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry, truthministry, 5525 @att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Thank you.